I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News the Reverend Brian Carey, who is connected with the Fremantle Wesley Church. Welcome, Brian.
Oh, thank you, Michael. It's good to be with you.
Now, the Wesley Church in Fremantle, if I may say so, is one of the most beautiful buildings, and particularly on the inside, and I think the both prettiest and most charming of the churches to be found in old Fremantle, if you like. And we have some photographs which will accompany our discussion, which shows the exterior of the church at the corner of Market Streets and Cantonment Streets in Fremantle. And this is relevant to our discussions in a moment about how centrally located it is, and also the interior of the church with this magnificently timber-panelled ceiling and old organ made in sort of gold rush days, really, in Victoria. But the church as we look at it today, as I understand it, Brian, was constructed or completed in about 1889.
Yeah, that'd be correct. It's it is an older building, and it reflects the style of the late 1880s with regards to how the front and its decoration, but it has also had it fitted within it this beautiful pipe organ that was brought over from Ballarat and set in this church in 1902.
Now, I must confess I know nothing about the architectural heritage, if you like, of particular Christian denominations and their churches, but this was a Wesley or Methodist church initially. It's part of the Uniting Church of Australia's set up in Western Australia today, which brings in from, I've forgotten what year, the
1977 was the, June the 22nd, 1977 was the formation of the Uniting Church in Australia from the Presbyterian, Congregational and Methodist churches. The most of the Congregational and Presbyterian were about 80%. The Methodist was 100% into Uniting.
Now, Brian, I was brought up within the Roman Catholic tradition, who managed to have, I'm not sure if they were Irish or Italian, but quite ornate churches, typically amongst the Methodists, the Congregationalists, Presbyterians. Were the churches more austere? This doesn't look like an austere Wesley church, I must say.
No, the most austere in the Uniting Church tradition was the Presbyterian. With the Methodist Church, there was always a focal point of the communion rail and the communion table, a little bit like the altar in the Mass. But it's
we see that in this photograph, which we'll accompany the story with.
You'll see that it's set with the colours of the year, which has become an important factor, and banners, so that the visual of the church with the communion table, with the chalice and Bible always there permanently on that, even though there is communion or Eucharist is only held once a month or on feast days. The sacramental practice is a very, very important. And you also notice that the pulpit has a dominant position and a special area. And the other aspect in Methodism, of course, is the place of the organ for singing, and the singing of hymns is a very central part of the worshipping life of the Uniting, as it was in the Methodist tradition.
Now, just while we're talking about the churches of functioning active place at the moment, that organ, which is quite wonderful to look at, is that still in active use?
Yes, and we do, because of the maintenance of that organ, we make sure that there are only certain people who are skilled and qualified to play it, because it's quite an expensive item to maintain, but it is used every Sunday, and often during the week we sometimes have a recital of some form, but it is a beautiful organ.
Now, as I understand it, on the site where the church currently stands was the original Wesley Church from 1841, the first Christian church built in Fremantle. It fascinates me so soon, 12 years after the establishment of the British colony, you had the Methodists setting up on this site. Do we know much about how the Methodists went about establishing themselves? I'm assuming there was some central London-based or English-based organisation that was sending the word out.
Well, it came out from England, of course, but Methodist Church had already been established in the Eastern Seaboard. But I'm a little bit don't have access at the moment to the detail or the different families that were involved in that establishment right back in the 1840s.
Now, as I say, it's a very centrally located a church right here in Fremantle. And it's often open. How does that work today? You're obviously encouraging people to come in. We were met a few minutes ago in the church, and there were some grey nomad backpackers wandering in and having a look, and you'd be perfectly happy about that, I imagine.
Yes, it's opened 4 days a week, and we have two people usually on deck making sure people are comfortable. We have quite a variety of people that have come in on various ocean liners that have come in and visited us. The local tourist authority has a brochure or a flyer, and people are encouraged to come and have a look and tell the story. The other thing is that we do find quite a few people would come in and just for meditation or some quiet prayer. I've spent time with a number of people who have lost a loved one and they may have been going on a cruise and had a month on a cruise and just come in and want someone to sit down and talk, pray with, reflect with. And that's becoming a very important part of the Wesley program, being available and having the church available for people just to look at, sit down and relax.
Now, developing a little bit about the church and the church community in the modern contemporary spaces, just reflect for a moment with the understanding that when the gold rush has happened, it appears that so far as the Methodists were concerned in Fremantle, there were as many as six Methodist churches in the area, a congregation which had at least two ministers, a number of preachers, good number of members, Sunday schools, everything that went with the operation of the Methodist Church, and I understand even a Chinese Sunday school, the details of which I don't know, and I'm not sure whether you do at this point. But the church, no doubt, like other Christian churches, has gone through evolutionary periods. In terms of the congregation today, what is the story around Fremantle?
The story around Fremantle, of like all the Christian churches, is that there's been a decline, a significant decline, particularly noticed in the Uniting and the Anglican churches. This congregation here at Fremantle will have around about 30 people at attendance of a worship. On occasions, such as recently, we had a baptism and they had 180 people there and the church was practically full. So it does fluctuate a little bit. And then in the feast seasons of special Christmas and Easter, we find that people tend to come and be part of that church community. But the other aspect of the church is its practice of hospitality in the local community. And this arises out of its understanding of its sacramental base, that you be hospitable to all people. All people are welcome, all people are special. And so on two mornings or till lunchtime each week, Thursdays and Fridays, our coffee shop, our Wesley Link, is open, and that provides, without charge, free coffee or tea and some toasted raisin bread, cup of soup, just to pray for hospitable to people in need. And there are a regular number of people who are sleeping homeless that'll come in and have a drink and have a conversation. And part of our work here is to make them feel welcome and to care for them and to provide for some of their physical need.
Now, I have a document which says something about the Fremantle Wesley Church, and I imagine more generally the Uniting Church, about the Fremantle Wesley mission here is to serve the community with love and hope, which I think you're just explaining. And one of the objectives is to assist those disadvantaged, and also to respect cultural differences as a gift, which I think is a lovely concept, and a statement that the mission will work in partnership with other churches and community organisations to take advantage of the high-profile positions of its buildings. In so far as a mission statement, if that's not a pun in the circumstances, is concerned, how are those objectives being fulfilled, or what sort of plans do you have? What sort of activities or uses can you imagine as you go forward?
Well, one of the things that this is a Wesley mission, and as a parish mission, it was providing a range of community services, including a refuge for women with domestic suffering from domestic violence, and for other care facilities in Hostel. But since the recent development of Uniting Care West, which is the major body for the Uniting Church throughout Western Australia, this has taken over those sorts of services. And they are located within part of the property of the Uniting Church here at Fremantle. And they provide quite a wide range of services for advice and help with budgeting, care for families in need, dealing with homelessness, working with projects that look after children as well as adults. And so that this has now gone out from the congregation, which it became, you know, quite a heavy burden. It's now in much more professional hands, and those professionals are accountable to Commonwealth government and state government for their funding and their programs. But it's still operating in the adjoining rooms here at Fremantle Wesley.
Brian, you personally, I think, have had a deal of experience, probably from when you were a much younger man, dealing with precisely those sorts of issues. Can you tell us something about your own involvement and experience in that regard?
Well, my first parish was in Melbourne. It was at a Paran Methodist mission, and we had about 50 staff and about 150 volunteers a week. We worked on the street in local coffee shops. We looked after young people. It was a very difficult time. For one example, we had 3 knifings in one night where we decided we had to close the coffee shop. But we worked with sheltered workshops, with ex-psychiatric patients. We had quite a range of welfare services we provided, aged care complex. We had a child care centre with caring for about 50 children. We also operated a cafeteria, and we were doing the Meals on Wheels for the city of Paran, which was quite a challenge. Very often we were delivering meals to a 34-storey building, and very often as the meals wanted to be delivered, but the lifts had gone out, so you got some exercise in climbing up 30 stories and down again. So you knew you were working, but my work was, I also was establishing then, I worked with Monash University in establishing one of the first community health centre in Australia, and that was on our property in South Yarra. That was linked with the Faculty of Medicine at the Alfred Hospital. And we developed quite a range of services in an area where high need and extreme loneliness was one of the biggest burdens that many of our people faced in those areas.
Now, has that sort of outreach community engagement always been a feature of the Methodist Church going back in time, the Uniting Church more recently, and to the extent that you can reflect on the commitment and engagement of other Christian churches in, say, Western Australia, is it similar?
The Uniting Church has been the largest provider of community services in Australia outside government. Often it doesn't sell itself or market itself, but it provides a range of services. In fact, one of our parish missions, one in Sydney, employs 2,000 people. And that gives you an idea of the size of the work of the church. The other churches, the Anglican, St. Vinny's and the Salvos, all do a wonderful, wonderful job. There's not a, one of the good things about the churches all working is that there's not a competitiveness or anything else, even though that the Commonwealth Government likes to have competitive tendering for some services. There is a genuineness of trying to make sure people are helped. If you look at the industry of Good Samaritan Industries and the Good Sammy shops, the initial work of the late Reverend Ralph Sutton in starting up this industry for disabled personnel to find work and to find a sense of dignity and value is really a hallmark of what the philosophy of the Uniting Church is about. That is, to respect and include all people and to ensure that everyone has treated with fairness and with justice and with compassion has been a hallmark of the work of the Uniting Church.
Making those sorts of organisations work, I assume, would expect, is very much a business all of its own, being efficient, making sure that financially they survive. Does that put any tension on the more traditional role of religion in the lives of individuals?
I think it puts a challenge, not so much a tension, I think it's a challenge to make sure that you have good principles of management, good principles that reflect your core values, that you articulate those in achievable ways. It's no good having a good idea that you'll say you do a project to serve this group or that group, but not having the resources to do it. I mean, that's just, I think it's just unethical because you need to be able to provide the best service you can within the frame of reference that you're working with.
Now, you touched on the size of the congregation here at Fremantle Wesley a little earlier, and you mentioned, I think, the Anglicans as well, with what would appear to be, at least on the face of it, diminishing numbers as regular attendees at church services and the like, and you hear this generally about Christian attendance. What is the future, if you like, the practice or the formalised practice of Christian services in Australia? We live in very multicultural days. Communities changed a lot since the 50s. Where do you see things going?
Well, I think there's a changing occur, but also there's some other things that are very positive with regards to the issue of the multicultural nature of our society. Bear in mind that in the city of Melbourne, in any one Sunday morning, the Uniting Church worships in 24 different languages. And the growing edge of some of our Korean congregations and Indonesian congregations is very significant. But the other aspect of all of this is that the church is really entering into a time of rethinking how it conveys the Christian message. There is within our society, if you read the books like Boehmer's work on Australian Soul, the need for a change in reflection, that people are no longer interested in doctrine or dogma, but are interested in values and meaning. And as we go more and more into the narrative stories of the Christian tradition, the narrative links up with the sort of things that are happening in our society. If you take, for example, the ABC's program, The Australian Story, there is a genuine interest in how people feel and think, and also what are their experiences. And when the Christian church starts to tell its story in a similar vein, it does get responses, and some places there are growth in this church which is substantial and significant and helping people to manage their lives more effectively.
One thing that fascinates me, particularly with this startup Fremantle Shipping News, is the way in which young people become involved in the community and how they specifically become involved in the media. And if you look at what's happened in the general media in the last 20 years, you discover that people have stopped reading the traditional hard copy newspaper. And I think the experience of many of the well-known, what are now called legacy newspapers, is that their readership was relatively old. Young people got their news on a smartphone, or they got it on social media, or they got it some other way. Using that sort of experience, has the Uniting Church had an issue? If it has, I assume others within the Christian denominations have too, at engaging young people.
Yeah, this has been a struggle area. But just to look at Fremantle Wesley here, we have our own Facebook page with all the information up, and we have quite a lot of hits on that information and that base. We had our Christmas story up. We have a story that, and we also use, I should say, we have articles in the local papers, not just adverts, but simply sometimes an explanation of why this season is special and what that is happening. And that is currently published within the Fremantle Gazette, and we do that, have that. But yes, you're right. But there are new forms of establishing new styles of being church, like this messy church, which is a gathering where young children and their families come along for a meal and a craft activity, and this is attracting quite a number of people who would not normally be into the church. So the church is having to rethink, how does it get its message across? What are the forms, whether it be using new technology, or what are the forms in the local community for telling the stories of that have formed as part of our society?
Brian, in your own life, ministering in the Uniting Church, you've obviously had reasonably broad interests, perhaps I should say quite broad interests. You've mentioned ethical stances various times in our discussion today, but I think you've been more formally engaged with various groups in relation to ethics, haven't you?
Yes, I've been involved with, particularly in the bioethics area, with both university. I've been a member of human research and ethics boards at the university level, but also I've been on the Coroner's Court Ethics Committee and the Reproductive Technology Council. I've been a deputy member there, and I chair the Storage of Embryos Committee, as well as for many years earlier, before coming to Western Australia, I was teaching in the Faculty of Medicine on ethics, and I've had a lot to do with biotechnology and ethical frameworks. So I've really worked in the area of how do you make an ethical decision, and what are the ethics of a range of new technologies, and how do you make any assessment of those technologies in the light of what is the good for the human society. And so that's been an academic interest that I've had for the last 35 years, because I started off when IVF began in Victoria, along with the ethicist with Monash University, evaluating and directing and looking at all those sorts of questions.
And within the Uniting Church, are there official positions in relation to a range of technology applications or issues? Take something like what's called variously assisted dying in the community, which creates lots of controversy, I suppose, at times. Have you become involved in that?
Yes, I've been involved in that. I've been running workshops on assisted dying and euthanasia. Within the Uniting Church, there is a plurality of views. One of the good things about the Uniting Church is the idea of respect and tolerance. That is to say that even though you might disagree with someone, you respect their right to hold that view, even though it might be contrary to your own. And that sense of inclusivity is the leading dominant mark. That's become us with, for the Uniting Church, to have the possibility of marriage between male and female, and the possibility of having celebrating a marriage between the same gender persons. Now, this was a radical step, but within the Uniting Church, the argument has been of inclusivity and respect and tolerance is a greater level than anything else, that you do not put divisions where there doesn't need to be divisions. and that's been a rather radical policy. And it's the only church that has taken that view. Other churches overseas, but in Australia, that has been the view.
Well, thank you for sharing very directly those views and thoughts with us today. But just looking at the interior of this wonderful Wesley Church in Fremantle, do you get to preach here?
Yes, I'm here most Sunday mornings. I'm leading the worship and celebrating the Eucharist. I have a sacramental orientation, of course, but yes, it's a delight, and I'm enjoying working with this congregation, even though I'm, inverted commas, the supply minister. I'm retired, and this is a little change from a mission planning direction that I was working with when I came back to Western Australia, but I'm here most Sundays.
And sort of advertising your presence, because there might be some of our listeners who'd like to come along, having heard you this morning, and think, I'd like to hear that guy talking on other matters. What time do you conduct your services?
They are at 9:30, and the Easter event we have 9:30 on Good Friday and on Easter Day. I'm away for the month of May, but I'll be back on the June, July, and August and September.
Now, thank you very much for joining us today. Just before we go, the magnificent timber ceiling within the Wesley Church Fremantle, is that something that you find in other Wesley churches around about, or is it something rather unique to this one?
It's a little bit unique to Fremantle Wesley.
Yes, well, people must get down here, come and listen to you, do it in the beautiful confines of this church. And Brian, thanks once again very much for telling us more about the Fremantle Wesley Church, the congregation, and the various things that you personally are involved in. It's been a privilege listening to you. Thank you.
Yes. I hope that was all right.